Well, let us continue our looking at this letter. We're going to begin verse 3 today, right? I believe we finished verse 1 and 2. So let me read from verse 3 all the way down to 14, because that is one section, actually, even though it teaches us many things there. Anyway, let me just read from verse 3 all the way down to 14, and we're going to look at this section, verse by verse. Okay, this is the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we have, that we who were the first to hope in Christ will be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. In Christ, we are the saints. As let's review what we learn in verse 1 and 2. In Christ, we are the saints, and we are the faithful ones, and we are in Christ. We are united to Jesus Christ, and grace and peace are ours in Jesus Christ, and it's by God's grace we have eternal life. We now have peace with God. We are no longer an enemy of God. Now from verse 3 then, Paul tells us then how sinners like us receive grace and peace from God. Because that is what we saw in verse 1 and 2, that the fact is, even though we're sinful, we're sinners, God pours out His grace upon us and peace. Then the obvious question, sinners like us, we deserve what? Condemnation from God, judgment from God. So if God says to us, judgment to you or curse be to you, you say, okay. You say, I don't like it, but I understand. But when God says grace and peace to you, you're puzzled because you know that's not what you deserve. So then, the next question then is, how then sinners like us receive grace and peace from God? Well, Paul will teach us that in this section from verse 3 to 14. What has happened that we receive such blessings from God? Be Because if God treats us as we are, then grace and peace from God just doesn't make any sense. So what has happened that this is now our reality? As Paul is about to start writing about those things. I mean, if you could picture Paul, after he says this greeting, he's writing actually, writing a letter. After he says this greeting, and he's going to start writing about what has happened, what God has done, so that he is able to say all these things. As he start writing about these things, as he think about what God has done to accomplish our salvation, he cannot help but to start with praise to God. And that's how the verse 3 begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot start any other way. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the God. Blessed be the God. The proper response of Christians to God's accomplishments for us is what? Is praise. This is a proper picture of our religion. If you want to describe Christianity in certain, with certain things or words, one of them will be this. We praise God. That's what Christians do. We praise Him. We give Him thanksgiving. We give God all the glory. For He and He alone has accomplished our salvation. And last week I asked you, and I don't know, Mike, you're the one who answered this, the chief end of man, the main purpose of man. The ultimate purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That glory of God shines the most in our salvation that God accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord. I told you that sinners like you and me, when we stand before God, when that day comes, when Jesus returns, you and I, we're going to be glorified. And we will stand before God as a righteous sons of God. When that happens, nobody can deny what God has accomplished for us. And it's seriously astonishing. Guy like me, guy, people like you, who deserve to go to hell. But what do we see that day? We see ourselves glorified, standing next to God, living with God. He is our God and we are His people. The power, the ability of God. The things that He has accomplished. And everybody will look at that and go, oh, amazing. Amazing. Because it is truly amazing that a guy like me can stand before God as a righteous son of God. What is more amazing than that? Sinner like you, be able to stand before God as a righteous son of God. Not just for a little period of time, but forever. And who accomplished this? Not us. God did. So, can't you see that day? Everybody has to admit that God is great. The work of God is great. all the glory will go to Him. See, why do we wait for that day to come? And there are many reasons we could say, you know, I want to see Him face to face and have that fellowship that I'm not able to have right now, this face-to-face fellowship with our God. Spiritually, we are able, and that is good enough for us right now, but there's still longing to see my Lord face-to-face. And that day, you know, we will be able to love Him with everything we have. Because it really, really makes us angry that love that we have for Him, all of it should go to Him. And yet, that's not what happens today. We love other things. Sometimes even more. We love more other things. But in the context of what we're talking about, we are waiting for that day. Because that day, God will receive all the glory. Everybody will acknowledge how great God is. Because you will see what He has accomplished. There's no way you cannot give Him all the glory when everything is revealed, when everything is visible. That's why we're waiting for that day. The honor and the glory will be given to whom it really deserves. Now, like I told you, Paul will tell us then, how did this all happen? Who did what so that we are enjoying this blessing of heaven? Well, Paul will tell us that it is all God's work. He will tell us how our salvation is accomplished, but you will not read about what man has done in this section. Not even one hint of it. It's all God. So from verse 4 to 6, we're going to hear about what the Father, God the Father, has done. From verse 7 to 12, we're going to hear about what the Son, Jesus Christ, has done for our salvation. And from verse 13 to 14, we're going to hear about what the Holy Spirit has done. You see, it's triune God. He has accomplished our salvation. But what purpose did God do this? If you look at the first section, we're going to divide this into three sections, right? Verse 4 through 6, it's going to tell us what the Father has done. But when you read the end of the verse 6, or starting from verse 6, what is the purpose? To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's the purpose. How about in the second section, what the Son has done, 7 to 12, if you go down to verse 12, what is the purpose? When you read the end of that, be to the praise of His glory. If you go down to verse 14, the Holy Spirit section, it ends with what? To the praise of His glory. Do you see it? This is the purpose. Even in God's work, this is the purpose. Whatever we do, this is the purpose. It's for His glory. Because if you are, I don't care what you're doing, if it is not for His glory, then you're sinning. Because if it is not for His glory, then what is it for? Your glory or whatever it is sin. Understand whether you are studying at school, whether you are working, whatever you are, whatever you do, understand this. The purpose is for His glory. Otherwise, you're wasting your life. Not only you're wasting your life, you're sinning. Man, so many people misunderstand that they think that they're the center of everything. Even God is there. Why? To help you. To help you achieve whatever you want to achieve for yourself. God is there to help you. That is not what the Bible teaches. You exist for Him. You exist for God's glory. Understand? He's the center. And we live for Him. For His glory. Even God Himself is for His own glory. See, you might say, oh, God is selfish. Yes, He is selfish. But if He is perfect God, how can He not be selfish? Him being not be selfish, what does that say? That He's not God. Because if you're perfect God, then you have to be selfish. See, you being selfish is sin because you're not perfect God. But think about it. If you are God, the perfect one, then you are the ultimate goodness. Then you have to love yourself. Otherwise, He's not God. It is to bring glory and honor to God. Brothers and sisters, please remember this. So you guys might have complaints in your life because you forget this. You complain because you think you are the center of the universe. That's why you complain. If you truly understand why we live, why do we even breathe today? Why do you even get up today? For what? If it was not for His glory, then you wasted your life today. You sinned. And I did. Just like you. I'm not saying this because I think I'm better than you. Always remember when I'm standing behind this and telling you these things, I'm saying what this book says. I'm not saying what I do. So don't say things like, yeah, young man, you do the same. Yeah, of course I have to do the same. But let's really, really remember this. Why did God create us? For His glory. So what did sin do? Sin came in so that we now live for our own selves. But what it means to be saved out of that. Now we are living for God again. For His glory. And you understand from this, even Jesus, He did all that for His glory. God the Father did all this for His own glory. The Holy Spirit the same way. And what God has done gives us the eternal meaning for us. If God did not do anything, let's say if God did not do anything, and He just lives us alone in our sinful state, that He did not accomplish our salvation. Let's say. Then what is your life? Oh, you might be able to say a lot of things in terms of this world. All the accomplishments that you might have accomplished. You could say you might have a list of things that you did and you're so proud of and all those things. So what? You will go to hell. So what? What's the meaning of anything that you have accomplished? What would be the meaning of anything that you do? That whatever you do and you finish it, then you go to hell. So what? It is so amazing, this humanistic think of, you know, accomplishment of men. And that's what you're going to learn in your schools. Your teachers, even in college, what they're going to teach you is how great man is. You're going to learn about all those accomplishments man has made. That's your textbook is all about. But this book is not interested in that. This book is interested in the accomplishments of God. And we should be the same way. Man, your life and my life would have no meaning whatsoever if God did not do this. So you love your neighbors in a worldly way. And the whole world praises you because you're so loving. And you will appear in every textbook in the whole world. Wherever country you go, you're going to be appearing in that textbook as a most loving person. Then what? Then you're going to go to hell and hate everybody for the rest of your eternity. Wow. Awesome. That's all it is if it is not what God has done for us. Who am I? How are we going to answer that? Who am I? We did talk about this, right? How does Paul describe himself? He describes himself in terms of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. So let us think about even, you know, how am I going to answer this question? Who am I? And if you're going to answer that question apart from God, apart from what he has done. So you're going to answer that question in terms of this world. And you're going to tell me all these things about you. So what? Are you going to be all of that even in hell? We need to understand what God has done in order for us to understand who we are. Because who am I, what I am, and who I am depends on what God has done for me, what God has accomplished for me. Otherwise, I have nothing eternal meaning, you know, nothing I could say about myself except that I'm going to go to hell and hate everyone for the rest of my eternity. That's all we could say. Brothers and sisters, who are you? You are who you are because of what God has done. So you got to understand first what God has done, what God has accomplished, even to understand who you are, because you can't even say anything about who you are if you don't know what God has done or who God is. Oh yeah, you could do it in a secular way in terms of this world, but like I said, that doesn't mean anything. I'm a doctor. Really? For about 60 years? Then what? But you are able to say, I'm a son of God. Not just for 60 years, but forever. I'm a wife. I'm a bride of my God. I'm a friend of God. I'm a king in heaven. I'm a royal priesthood forever and ever. See, you are able to say these things about yourself because you understand what God has done, what God has accomplished. See, you are describing yourself in terms of what God has done, and this has eternal meaning. And brothers and sisters, I want you to be so proud of who you are. I want you to be proud of who you are. But who you are has nothing to do with what you have done. It's not about your accomplishments. You're proud of what God has done for you. Do not judge anybody according to the terms of this world. Do not judge yourself like that. Let us not allow anybody in this church to do that. I will not look at you as a failure if you drop out of your school, or if you don't go to good school, if you don't have a good job, or if you... I will not look at you as a failure because you are not failure because of what God has done for you. Understand? See, you value yourself according to the worldly standard. How dumb. And you even look at other people according to the worldly standard. Don't do that here. Because I will not look at you in terms of this world. I'm not going to look at you highly just because you have some good job or you went to good school or whatever. And I will not look at you lowly just because you went to City College or whatever. But I'm going to look at you in terms of what God has accomplished for you. And we should all do that. We should all look at one another and ourselves in terms of what God has accomplished. And that is what we're going to see in this section. Because we're going to look at what God has done, we're going to look at who we are. And that is who you really are. Don't let anybody look at you any other way. Oh yeah, I know they're going to do it anyway. But you don't be influenced by it. Don't be... Yeah. We're so eager to hear what this world has to say about us. How about what God says about you? Huh? How about what God says about you? Is that important to you? It is so amazing to me that so many Christians, or so-called Christians, are so into what the world has said, what the world has to say about them. So even in understanding who I am, we need to first understand who God is and what He has done and what He has accomplished. From verse 3 then, we see that because of what God is doing in Christ, we see that the new era has come, the new age. Biblical new age, okay? That word is so misused today. You know, when I say new age, you think of something else, right? Something not biblical, something not good. But the old has passed away. The new has come. Because even this praise that we see in verse 3 is a new praise. Because you will not see this praise in the Old Testament. Old Testament might say things like, praise to be the God of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. That's what you're going to see in the Old Testament. But that is not what we see here. The praise to be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You never saw that kind of praise in the Old Testament. Now God is described, expressed. Even God is expressed in terms of Jesus Christ. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, but Jesus Christ. Who is God? In the Old Testament, you might say God of Abraham. No longer. Do you understand what has happened? The new era has come. Something fresh, something exciting, something new. Jesus is the center of our religion. And like I pointed out to you last time, amazing thing here. Because in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father. But here, what do we read? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who God is the Father of Lord Jesus Christ and God is our Father. What has happened here? Then what would be my relationship? What would be our relationship to Jesus Christ? We are? We are brothers. Oh, man, it is so amazing that it kind of sounds really like as if we're blaspheming. How dare we say that Jesus is my brother? I'm talking about amazing salvation. Salvation that our God has accomplished. We're talking about amazing salvation. Jesus is not ashamed to be called our brother. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 11. both he who sanctifies, that's our God, and those who are sanctified, that's us. So Jesus and us are all from one Father, for which reason he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. Do you hear that? Jesus is not ashamed. I mean, if your brother is a murderer, my brother is here, huh? If your brother is adulterer, if your brother is child, whatever, you know, that whatever, I'm not going to go in there. You're going to be ashamed of your brother. Why? But we are all that. We are adulterers. Bible says we are murderers. We're all, whatever you could think of, this despicable stuff that you could think of, we're all that. And yet, our God, Jesus Christ, is not ashamed to call us his brother. This doesn't make you happy? I don't know. Come on, show me something that shows that you're happy to hear this kind of stuff. I am ashamed of myself. I am ashamed to tell you what I did and what I think. And yet, Jesus is not ashamed about me. Not because who I am really by myself, but because of what he has accomplished. And because of what he has accomplished, so that now who I am, because of all that God has done, that me is not ashamed. But see, you and I, we are that in Christ already. God is not saying that I will not be ashamed of you if you whatever. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that he's not going to be ashamed of you if you do something or if you whatever. No, he's not ashamed of you because what he has done for you, what kind of person he has made you to be. And you are already that person in Christ. Are you ashamed of yourself? You should be. But don't be. Because God is not ashamed of you. He's not. He loves you as his own brother. Jesus is the true Son of God, and we are God's adopted sons. But the true Son and the adopted Son has equal legal status. Oh, yay. I have equal legal status with Christ. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. 16, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. As the Son of God, our Christ, Jesus, has the inheritance from God. But so do you. You are fellow heirs with Him. You have the same legal status as Son of God with Christ. Knowing the true God means knowing the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God who is expressed in any other terms, anybody who denies Jesus, when they express their God, it's false. It's false God. It's false religion. Jews today, they say they believe the same God. They say they believe the God of the Old Testament. But they don't believe God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. That is why their God is not our God. Their God is not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that God I do not worship. Our God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Even God Himself expressed Himself in terms of Christ. And you should do the same. And He blesses us. That's what He says, right? He blesses us. But this blessing is in Christ. Our verse clearly says that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So if you are not in Christ, don't talk about this blessing. Which means non-Christians do not receive this blessing. But when you look at out there, non-Christians are wealthy. Non-Christians are healthy. Non-Christians go to good college. So obviously when the Bible, when Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 talks about blessings, we're not talking about blessings of this world. Common grace, even non-Christians receive. That is not the blessing that this verse is speaking of. Please, when you speak of blessings of God, do not express that blessing in terms of even the non-Christians receive, like wealth and health
and even going to a college kind of stuff. Paul is not interested in that kind of blessing here. Oh, but churchgoers, they're all interested about that kind of blessing. That's why they're not Christians. Or at least they don't understand what Christians is. Brothers and sisters, if your understanding of our religion and whatever our religion speaks of, only in terms of this world, then you don't know anything that this book is speaking of. What does it say, brothers and sisters? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not the blessing of this world, but heavenly blessings Paul is speaking of. And he says what? Every. Oh man, time is up. Every blessing, every, that word, every blessing. Any church, any teacher teaches you that even though you are a Christian, even though you are a son of God, even though you are in Christ, if any teacher, any church teaches you that you're lacking something, somehow some other Christians receive more than you, then it's all false. Do not be deceived by this. You have every blessing that God gives. Nothing lacking. If we're talking about the real blessing, the true Christian blessing, you're not lacking anything. Oh, you're lacking because now you want to talk about in terms of this world. Oh yeah, then you're lacking. Because you don't have a good house, you don't have a good car, you don't, you know, yeah, of course then you're lacking. But we're talking about our religion, we're talking about Christianity. You received every blessing, every spiritual blessing of heaven in Christ, because you have received Christ. Don't let anybody deceive you into thinking that you lack something somehow. That somehow you think to yourself, how come God does not give me that? How come He has it but I don't? See, nonsense. That is not biblical. That's false teaching. Look at what the Bible says. You have Christ. And in Him you have everything. God is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Understand, brothers and sisters. Everything that Bible speaks of what God has accomplished is yours already. You have it. You have all of it. And you're not doing anything just to receive more. No, you do things because you receive everything. I don't know why so many Christians are deceived that thinking that they're lacking something. God is somehow withholding something from His. Oh, man, you're making God as a really bad God. Well, you think God is withholding something from you? You think He is withholding something from you that He treats as a son? He's not. He gave Himself to you. There's nothing more he could give to you. So why do you feel that somehow you're lacking? Why? Because you think in terms of this world. That's why you feel like that. Oh, got a long way to go, huh? We're so natural in thinking in terms of this world. But don't be despaired. God is working. Even today He is working. So that you may think more and more in terms of heaven. Even this Bible study. What do you think this is? God is working. God is making you more and more like Christ. And this is what that is all about. Brothers and sisters, understand first what He has done, what He has accomplished. Then you're going to understand who you are and what you have and what you are able and all that, you know, complete understanding of who you are. Well, we have to stop. We'll come back next week because we only have 2 more minutes left. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ we have you, God, the whole person, the triune God. And Father, let us understand what you have accomplished so that we may know what kind of blessings that we already have, that we already received in Christ. That knowledge will make us happy. We'll rejoice in Jesus Christ. And the salvation that He has accomplished for us. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.